Hello. As you might hear from my voice, I have a little bit of a sore throat, and so I wanted to share this week's parsha with you. Hopefully I'll be able to re-record it when my voice is more clear, but I wanted to make sure that I got a chance to share some incredible messages from this week's parsha, Parshas Beshalach. At the end of last week's parsha, Bnei Yisrael have left Mitzrayim. They're finally free. By the middle of this week's parsha, the Egyptians are chasing the Jews into the Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds. Why the quick transition, and how come Hashem couldn't just give the Jewish people a break? Why did he orchestrate circumstances that after only 7 days, the Jews are under attack? The Tzenarena offers a number of possibilities as to why Hashem did this that gets to the heart of why Hashem sends challenges to his people. The parsha begins, Vayhi b'shalach paro sa'am, and it was when Paro sent the people away. When Paro sent the people, Hashem did not take them the most direct route to get to Eretz Israel. The Pasuk says the route would have taken the Jews via the nation of the Plishtim. Rather, he took them into the desert, which was a circuitous route, which made Paro assume that the Jews were lost. The reasons brought by the Tzenarena for why Hashem took them on this route rather than on the direct path relates to the purpose of challenges, nisyonos, in this world. The first reason brought by the Tzenarena is that Hashem said, lest this people who left Mitzrayim will regret it when they see that the enemy is standing opposite them. According to this opinion, if the Jews had faced the Plishtim, who are warriors, so soon after leaving Egypt and so soon after they were tortured, they wouldn't have been able to stop themselves from returning to Egypt. Instead, Hashem took them on a roundabout route so that they would not face such an extreme challenge at this point in their history. What this means is that Hashem did not want to give the Jewish people a challenge that they were not able to withstand. In the desert, the Jews only had to fight Amalek, and they were not such a formidable enemy as the Plishtim were. The Amaleki only attacked the weakest people of the Jewish people. The Plishtim, on the other hand, would have been too strong and would have attacked all of them. The next reason brought by the Tzenarena as to why Hashem took them in this direction takes a different direction. He says, the truth was that Hashem wanted to test Bnei Yisrael if they would want to go to the desert with their wives and children, a place full of snakes and scorpions. Hashem also deliberately guided them in the desert so that they would see war, and Hashem wanted to see if they would withstand the test that maybe, if they see war, they will want to return back to Mitzrayim. And that is also the secret why Hashem made them rest and led them on the side of the sea in order that they would not return to Mitzrayim. According to this opinion, Hashem wants to bring challenges to the Jewish people. Rabbeinu Bachaye, who is not quoted by the Tzenarena, gives two explanations for why there are challenges of this sort. Every person has within him potential of what they would want to do if they were faced with a challenge. This potential lives in their heart. However, when the challenge is actually in front of a person, they have the chance to refine their character and actualize their potential, becoming the best version of themselves. Before, the potential only lived within their desire, but now it becomes part of who they are. This reason for challenges focuses on developing dormant qualities in a person. The second reason for challenges of this sort discussed by Rabbeinu Bachaye is so that a person will be an example of how to act to those around him. Avraham Avinu is an example of a person who taught others based on his choices about how he served Hashem. The example here of whether or not the Jews should bring their wives and children into the desert and to test what would happen in case of war points to the first reason brought by the Rabbeinu Bachaye. Hashem was allowing and requiring those who went to the Midbar to the desert to develop their latent strengths. What strengths in specific? Rabbeinu Bachaye says Hashem was forcing the Jews to develop the midah of bitachon, of trust in Hashem, as that is the foundation for all religious practice. Bitachon is different than emunah. Emunah is a theoretical faith. Bitachon is what happens in real life when things are not going our way. Do we trust that Hashem is in charge and will do what is best for us, or do we think everything is random? Do we panic and try to take over? Do we run away? What do we do when we're faced with a challenge? Where does our bitachon take us? The Tzenarena highlights that the primary reason for all the challenges in this week's parsha was that Hashem did this to set up a test for Bnei Yisrael to see if Bnei Yisrael would trust in Hashem or not. And Hashem did this with the man that he gave to Bnei Yisrael day by day. He did not give it to them all at once. He didn't give them a bank account of food. He didn't give them a refrigerator. Rather, Hashem wanted Bnei Yisrael to ask for food daily. he was developing in them the Midah of Bitachon, which would serve as a foundation for all Jewish life going forward. At the end of the parsha, the Tzenarena describes why only enough man fell for a person for one day. The pasuk says, "Davar yom biyomo," day by day. Man fell every day in such a manner that a person would need to eat only on that day, and nothing would be left of it for the next day. Hashem is able to make as much man fall in large quantities that a person could eat over any amount of time. Why did new, fresh man have to fall every single day? The Tzenarena answers, Hashem wanted that Bnei Yisrael would ask and daven daily for their bread, and they would have bitachon that also tomorrow Hashem would give them food. Rabbi Eliezer says, Mi sheyesh lo hayom le'echol v'doeg v'omer, someone who has food today and worries and says, Ma ochel machar, what will I eat tomorrow? Hareze miktani amana, this is a person of little faith. Hashem prepares food and livelihood for each and every one of his creations, and it satisfies at the time they need it the will of every creature. We say every day, Poseh in Ashrei, Poseach es yadecha u'maspil l'chol chai ratzon. He opens his hand and he satisfies with every creature that which he wants. Rabbi Shimon says, therefore, that Hashem made the man fall over a long period of time so that everyone from Bnei Yisrael, a man, his wife, his sons, will look up to the Creator above and ask from him for his parnasa. In addition, one can say that the reason Hashem gave the food each day was so that Bnei Yisrael would eat it fresh and it wouldn't be old, and especially in the heat in the desert, in a short time the food would spoil. One could also say that if a lot of man fell over a long time, it would be hard for Bnei Yisrael to carry it, because Bnei Yisrael did not rest in one place, because at the end of the day they would move and wander and go from place to place, and would be hard to carry the man. So what we're seeing is that Hashem was creating for us an opportunity over 40 years, where it would have been shorter had they not sinned at the sin of the spies. Hashem was giving us an opportunity to develop within us this trait of bitachon, where we would realize that Hashem is going to provide for us every single day. And by the way, as Hashem was doing this, it was really for our benefit. There were reasons to do this. It wasn't just that Hashem wanted us to pray, but rather it was the best possible way to eat. So along with developing our bitachon, we are also getting the best possible product. And that's something that we can learn as a lesson from the Tzenarena, from this week's parsha so far, is that the midah of bitachon, our having faith, is also an opportunity. If we have faith that Hashem will provide the best thing for us, then Hashem can indeed provide what is best for us. Back to the Tzenarena. He explains a different facet of challenges and their cause. He says that the reason Hashem brings challenges is so that Hashem can show love to the tzaddikim, to the righteous, because Hashem solves their problems in ways that are more miraculous. Quoting Rabbeinu Hananel, the Tzenarena points out that life in the Midbar was on a different plane of existence. Every night, man fell from the sky. They got meat from Slav who flew to them, and water flowed from a rock. Their whole existence revolved around miracles, which was the way of Hashem saying to them, I love you. The Tzenarena reminds us of other stories from Tanakh that teach us the same message. Specifically, he starts with the story of Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah, who were three righteous individuals who were in the book of Daniel. They were advisors to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar created an idol, and he demanded that every one of his advisors bow down to it. Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah learned from the message of the frogs who jumped into the fiery furnace, and they said, we are going to refuse, we're going to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for the sake of Hashem rather than bow down to this idol. And so this is what happened. Nebuchadnezzar saw that Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah refused to bow down to the idol, and so Nebuchadnezzar decided to throw them into the furnace. But this wasn't an ordinary furnace. Nebuchadnezzar decided to make them as an example for everybody else, and he made this furnace to be exceedingly hot. It was so hot that those who were stoking the fire were burned by the heat. It would have been no problem for Hashem to extinguish the fire, and then the whole thing would have been over. But no, Hashem didn't want this. Rather, Hashem made the fire even stronger, and not even a single hair was burned on the head of Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah. Why did Hashem do this? To make the miracle more evident and to show his love for tzaddikim. This also happened in the time of Daniel. Advisors of Daryavish convinced him to make a decree that no one could serve their gods for a period of time on punishment of death. The advisors did this because they knew Daniel would not stop serving Hashem, and it would force Daryavish to have him killed because he wouldn't be able to back out on his own decree. So Daniel was thrown into the lion's pit with a bunch of hungry lions. Hashem could have made the lions immediately die. But this is not what Hashem did. Hashem kept the lions alive and closed their mouth so they could not do Daniel any harm, and he survived the night with the lions. And he did this to show Hashem's wonders and his loves of tzaddikim. Similarly, Hashem made miracles in the desert. He split the sea. These open miracles happened in this week's parasha. We see other times when Bnei Yisrael came to the city of Mara. There had always been sweet waters in this location, in this oasis in the desert, from ancient times. It was a well-known place for water. Hashem deliberately made the water now become bitter, so that Bnei Yisrael could not drink at that time from its bitterness, and Hashem made a miracle and commanded Moshe to take a bitter branch and throw it into the water, and the water would become sweet. And all this was done to show how much Hashem loved Bnei Yisrael and the power of the miracle. The Chizkuni highlights a different reason for the decision to leave Bnei Yisrael in a roundabout way. Hashem specifically did not want to lead Bnei Yisrael through the land of the Plishtim, as he didn't want the Plishtim to think that Bnei Yisrael had come to fight them. 30 years prior, the Plishtim killed the sons of Ephraim, who left Mitzrayim early. The sons of Ephraim had not been experts, and they had thought that the end of the Gullus of Mitzrayim had come, and so they left prematurely. Had the Jews traveled near their land, the Plishtim would think that Bnei Yisrael had come to fight to avenge the sons of Ephraim, and therefore Hashem did not want to lead them by way of the Plishtim. What seemed like a challenge to the Jews was being done from a love for the Jews. Similarly, the Tzenarena cites another interpretation that explains the words of the pasuk kikarovu, which literally means that the Plishtim are close. This can be interpreted in a different way, that the word karov can also mean relative. Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim, was a karov, a relative to Paro. They were relatives to each other, and therefore, Hashem did not want to lead the Jewish people through the land of the Plishtim, because perhaps the Mitzrayim would run after them, and the Plishtim were family. They were mishpacha, they're relatives of Paro. And of course, the Plishtim would go out to help their family, and they would go out to help the Mitzrayim fight against Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, Hashem did not want to lead them at all by the way of the Plishtim. From this section, we have seen a number of reasons why Hashem led Bnei Yisrael out of the way to get to Eretz Yisrael. Number one, it was to minimize their challenge so there wouldn't be a war with the Plishtim, whether because the Plishtim were warriors, because they were threatened, or because they were relatives of Paro. Number two, Hashem wanted to help actualize their potential, specifically in the area of bitachon, which would serve as a foundation for their future life. And number three, to increase the miracles and the recognition of Hashem's love that he had for the Jewish people. Although the Pesukim wants us to understand that bitachon is fundamental, that is not the only consideration when we are faced with challenges. We also have an obligation to do our part to help minimize the issue. In the next section, the Tzenarena discusses to what extent are we responsible to help when we are faced with a challenge. What is our responsibility of Hishtadlus? The Pasuk tells us, V'chamushim alu Bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. And Bnei Yisrael came up from Mitzrayim armed. Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim with weapons, like those who fight wars. Although they knew they did not need to fight the war at all, because Hashem would fight for them. As it is written, Hashem ish mochama. Hashem is a man of war. Hashem is the one who is going to decide who's going to win this war, and he was going to be the one who was going to fight the wars for the Jews. What this shows, the fact that the Jewish people came out with weapons, is that even though they knew that Hashem would take care of them, people should always be ready and prepared with everything that is needed, because from our side, we need to do all that we need to do and can do. Hashem will help, like the pasuk you find in Mishle. Sus muchan liyom milchama ula Hashem ha'yeshua. A horse is prepared for the day of war, but the salvation is Hashem's. Your horse always needs to be next to you and always be ready and prepared. Do not trust in yourself or in your horse, but only in Hashem, who is the salvation. I need a job. I know that Hashem is the one who's providing me with the job, but I need to write a resume. I need to send out feelers. I need to network. A person needs a shidduch. They need to go out on a date. But Hashem is the one who's going to decide whether that date is going to be successful. The Medrash then brings a different explanation of the word chamushim. Chamushim can also be read as one-fifth. Only one-fifth of the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, and four-fifths died in Mitzrayim in 3 days of darkness, because the four-fifths did not want to leave Mitzrayim. They did not have faith in Hashem, or they were too comfortable, and they didn't want to leave. They had too much money, so they wanted to stay back. Therefore, 4 out of 5 of the Bnei Israel died during the 3 days of darkness, so that the Mitzrayim would not see the Jews die, so they wouldn't say, Bnei Israel also are dying and getting the Makos, just like us. They're also suffering and absorbing losses. So it's not because Hashem is trying to save the Jews, rather he's just trying to kill everybody. So Hashem killed them under the cover of darkness, so Chamushim hints to this fact. We can also say another explanation for the word Chamushim, that Chamushim is related to the word Chamishim, 50. It sounds similar, meaning that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim to receive the Torah after 50 days, since there are 50 days between the holiday of Pesach and the holiday of Shavuos. The reason that Hashem is intervening and the purpose for the salvation of Mitzrayim is so that the Jewish people would receive the Torah at Har Sinai on Shavuos, which makes us Hashem's nation. After learning this parsha, we now understand challenges and how we need to make efforts while we're relying on Hashem. The one area we do have some level of power is over our choices, and making the correct choices leads to great rewards. The pasuk tells us, "Vaykach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo," and Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. When Moshe left Egypt, he took the bones of Yosef to bury the bones in Eretz Israel. When Yosef was about to die, he made Bnei Israel swear that when they would leave Mitzrayim to go to Eretz Israel, they would take his bones with him to bury Yosef in Eretz Israel. Moshe now fulfilled Yosef's will and took the bones for burial in Eretz Israel. When Hashem announced the redemption in Egypt, Moshe told Bnei Israel to ask the former Egyptian masters for gold and silver to fulfill Hashem's promise to Abraham that his children would leave Egypt with silver and gold. All of Bnei Israel were busy borrowing from the Mitzrayim, and they wanted to borrow silver and gold vessels and clothing from them as Hashem commanded them. But Moshe Rabbeinu ran to do a mitzvah to fulfill the words of the dead and the promise to Yosef. The series of events that led up to and followed this choice demonstrate the importance of making good choices. Since Yosef buried his father Yaakov Avinu with kavod as he was king, Yosef was zocha, he merited, that Moshe himself was involved in his burial. Moshe was more prominent than Yosef was. Moshe spoke to Hashem face to face. He was even on a greater level than Yosef was when he buried Yaakov. Moshe himself was rewarded because of this deed, that Hashem himself, b'kfodu u'b v'atzmo, in all of his glory, busied himself with the burial of Moshe. Hashem is of course more important than Moshe, and no one knows where Moshe is buried because Hashem is the one who buried him. In the end, this act of selflessness from Moshe, Rabbeinu actually saved him, as the sea was actually split thanks to Yosef. For as Yosef's coffin reached the sea, and the sea saw Yosef's arrow in his coffin, it immediately split and retreated in reward for the fact that Yosef fled from the wife of Potiphar when he did not want to sleep with her. That which Yosef did for Yaakov saved him, and that which Moshe did for Yosef saved him as well. In this week's parsha, we discussed fundamentals of Jewish faith, including the goal of nisyonos, of challenges, the importance of bitachon, of faith, how to act when we are faced with challenges, how we need to do our hishtadlus, and when we have choices, how we should choose mitzvos, opportunities to do mitzvos that are spiritual, rather than seeking opportunities for material advancement. There are lots of practical lessons in this parsha. When we ourselves are faced with a challenge, we should remind ourselves that these challenges are opportunities for us to get to know our best selves, and that our primary focus should be on developing within ourselves bitachon, developing within ourselves faith, because Hashem is taking care of the fact that the best outcomes should result from this situation. We don't need to worry about that. As long as we do our part, Hashem is orchestrating everything to have it come out the best for us. And when we do need to make a choice in life, and it is hard, as it seems like we'll be sacrificing something we want to make the choice that is right, we should remind ourselves that just like Moshe and Yosef did something for others and they themselves benefited, what we do for others is really going to be the thing that most benefits us. With a focus on bitachon and an assurance that Hashem is always taking care of us, that will help us not only be our best selves, but also lead the most enjoyable lives possible. Have a good Shabbos.